part two of Write Your Story, part two of Write Your Story. What I found out is that life can be kind of like a merry-go-round. My merry-go-round riding days are over. You know, I don't know about you. They're fun when you're a kid, but as you get older, I don't know, maybe it's vertigo or something, I don't know. You know, I remember back in the day, I don't go to Adventureland anymore, but there was a situation there called the Silly Silo. Anybody remember that? Oh my gosh. You know, when I was younger, it was cool. But as I got older, I come off of that thing and I felt terrible. I was so dizzy. I was confused. Because it just wound and around and around in a circle. It pinned you to a wall. Now, I've heard they've taken that out because people got injured because somehow the floor kind of messed with their feet or something. I don't know. Don't want to go into that. But anyway, that's kind of what happened. And I remember on a merry-go-round how hard it was to try to pull yourself to the center. Have you ever noticed on the outside of the merry-go-round, it's harder to hold on than it is on the inside of the merry-go-round? You know, there's a lot of science involved in that. You know, how that works. Centrifugal force and how that goes. And, you know, I've always used the road analogy when I talked about being in God's will and what God's will has for our life on what God wants to do. Because I always figure that a lot of times we Christians are either in one ditch or the other. We're never on the road where we need to be. Because that's how you get places. Now, when I was younger, I spent a lot of time in the ditches. I do remember that. I was just thinking about that today. How many cars I went through until I finally got it together a little bit. But, you know, today I want to look at life from a different perspective. And it's talking about like a merry-go-round. And I believe the closer that we get to the center of God's will, the less confused that we're going to be. And I think it's worth it for you and I to try to get to the center of God's will. I want to look up a scripture today. It's found in Romans chapter 12, very familiar, one that we've looked at before, and it's found in verses 1 and 2. And it has a lot of deep revelation that you and I can grab a hold of. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the anointing that's on it today to be able to transform and change our life. Lord God, right now I bind up the devil from trying to steal or hinder us in any way, shape, or form. I thank you, Lord, that your word is flowing here today. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit just ministering life. Right now I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So we're going to look today from the topic of good to great. Good to great. You know, a lot of times we settle for good and acceptable, but I think we need to get to the perfect. To me, when you get perfect, you're great. Amen? That's when you're walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Now, what I see from this is the idea that, number one, that we need to be self-motivated. We need to be self-motivated. And that's a problem because sometimes we're not. Sometimes we just kind of want to go with the flow and we just kind of want to wait till things happen. And then when things don't happen, we get frustrated. And I believe that from this passage, we see two important lifestyle situations or lifestyle choices that you and I need to choose. We need to make a choice. Number one is you got to present your body. Pretty simple. Present your body. Now, one thing, you can just glaze right over that, but remember what the body is. It's a living sacrifice. Thinking about the Old Testament, you know, when you were a sacrifice, that's what you were. You died. That's the way it is. Now, God wants us to be a living sacrifice. He doesn't want us to die other than dying to self. He wants us to be able to choose to live and to bring ourselves to Him, to be able to worship Him. And that means that we want to present ourselves. That means you can't go by your feelings because your body or your old flesh nature does not want to worship God. It does not want to come into the presence of God because it loses control of our life that it wants to choose. It wants to do things that are contrary. So we got to not go by feelings. If you don't feel like it, you know, that's not the right opinion to be able to hold it when it comes to the things of God. Sometimes you just got to get out of bed. Sometimes you just got to get off the couch. Sometimes you just got to do the things that God has told us He wants us to do. And as you do that, you're going to be better. Next, it talks about the idea of renewing your mind. Renew your mind. That means you need to spend a little time. You know, a lot of us think we're so smart, but really we're not. We're really kind of stupid. Because the world trains us to do things that maybe make us successful here, but primarily our success ratio is only for a few years when compared to eternity. But God wants us to renew our mind to get us to the place where we can be able to walk in His will and start to do things according to His ways. Now, remember, the god of this world is blinding the eyes of the unbelieving. The god of this world is trying to manipulate and control us and force us to do things that is contrary to God's word and God's will. And that's just the way of the world. That's the pattern of the world, and that's how we're trained. We watch other people. We do what other people do. Nobody wants to be that different, right? But yet God calls us out from among them. And to do that, we need to learn God's system. God has a system and processes established in Scripture that you and I are supposed to flow with. And as we start to flow with them, we will find success. We will be everything that God has called us to be. But it's going to take a process of doing it. Now, the word perfect here is talking about complete, full, and wanting in nothing. You know, that's a hard place to get to sometimes. Usually we want stuff, don't we? We want more. Be honest, come on. We want more. But if we get to the place in our walk with God where we're perfect or complete or walking in God's greatness, we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be fulfilled. We're going to be able to not be bowing down to the things of this world where we have to go. And the sad thing for a lot of believers is that a lot of times we settle for goodness when we could be walking in God's greatness. Now, good's okay. Because I'll be honest, there's a lot of people not even walking in that level. They've chosen not to be able to obey God. They've chosen not to submit their lives to Christ. So they're not even in the game yet. But yet once you get in the game and you start the process and you start to do things, start cleaning up a little bit, letting God start to do His work, and then we're going to start to see the thing happen, well, you might as well choose to go all the way and to let God have His way in your life. Because when you do that, you're going to find out some things that God wants to reveal to you so that you can walk in a level of authority that is only reserved for those who have totally submitted to Him. And what I found out in life with a lot of things, you got to want it. Someone else just can't want it for you. And a lot of kids are going, yeah. And a lot of parents are going, yeah. How many want things for their kids? But they're not getting it. They don't want it. You can only make them go so far. And it's frustrating. Because you know you and your infinite wisdom of multiple years upon this planet been where they're at, and they've never been where you're at. So you can see what they need, but they don't want it. And it's sad. So what we have to do is get to the place in our life that we want God's greatness to operate, that we want more. We want to be able to explore every area and every depth that God has for us, to be able to walk in a level of freedom where the enemy doesn't have any place to shoot at us because our shield of faith is so strong and we're walking in the anointing and the power of God. Hallelujah. That's possible. It's possible to get to that place. But yet, it takes a little bit of effort upon our part. Now, the worst thing you can do is to compare yourself with others. Because this is what we do first. You're looking around the room comparing yourself right now. I just watched a couple of you. You're looking around saying, oh, I got a little more going than them, but boy, I'd like to be as good as that person. You know. But don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to what you could be in God, what your path is. You have a path. God has a journey for you to take. And as you choose to take that journey, it's wrong to compare yourself to somebody else because they maybe have a different total plan than that for their life than you do. So don't compare yourself to them. Now, the next thing that we need to do once you have gotten to the place where you know you need to be self-motivated, then you need to embrace change. Now, this is something that we don't want to do sometimes. Nobody likes to change. You know, how many have been doing something so long that you think you're right, even though in the back of your mind, I might be wrong, but I'm not going to change because this works for me. I may not be getting to where I need to be, but I'm functioning. You know, I don't have to do a lot of effort. I can put it on autopilot, and then I can still get to where I need to be. You know, even though I may not walk in a level of depth that I could be, I'm still getting there, you know. I'm part of the gang. See, God wants us to embrace change. You know, we were created by God to have dominion. In Genesis, when he talked to Adam, he says, have dominion. Go forth. Subdue. Now, what I want you to do right now, in your mind, I want you to do a self-assessment. I want you to do a self-assessment. Are we dominating or are we being dominated in life? Are we dominating? God said you have dominion. God said you're going to go forth and subdue. To me, that means you're walking in a level of authority that makes the devil scared. Amen? The devil should fear when we come on the scene. Because we walk in dominion. Even though Adam gave dominion over to the devil, Jesus Christ took the keys back. And he gave us the ability to use those keys, the keys to the kingdom. And see, only those keys, we have to have those keys to unlock. If I have your car keys, you can't unlock my car. You got to have the right keys. If you have the right keys, you can unlock the right door. And God wants to unlock the door in your life. He wants you to be able to walk in dominion. He wants you to be able to walk in a level of authority so you can protect your family from the onslaught of the enemy and all the things that the enemy tries to bring against you. Now, in doing that, a lot of times in life, we get into a certain flow. And as we get into that flow, it's hard to get out of. You know, are we driven by fear of failure, or are we driven by hunger of success? And that's a good point. Are we afraid to fail? Are we afraid to maybe do some changes? Are we afraid that if we step out of the boat like Peter did, we'll sink quick? You know what I mean? Or are we willing to take that chance? Are we driven by a desire for success in our life that we're willing to make changes and do things differently? Because if we're not walking in dominion now, and I know it's not God's fault, then maybe I need to make some changes. Maybe I need to start doing some things different in my life to be able to. This was supposed to be fun, but I know it's kind of challenging sometimes when we self-assess. We look inside. We look in that mirror. But yet, I want you to be able to get to the place where you can walk in the level of freedom that God has purchased for you so that you can be able to live a life that brings glory to His name. You know, are we living in this way in the areas of God? How's our relationship with God? How's our career going? Is it just a job? Or do you look at it as a career? Is it fulfilling you? Also, relationships in your life. How's the relationships in your life going? You know, all these things we're supposed to dominate in. We're supposed to be able to walk in greatness because we're the best advertising that God has. Oh, you can buy a billboard, or we can go on Facebook, or you can walk it out in front of people in this world, and they start to see that there must be something about that person that's different. That person is walking in a level of authority that I've never seen before. And see, that's what the advertising is that you and I need to do. And to get to that place, we need to let God search our heart. Now, this is something that we need to do. Psalms 139, verse 23, It talks about, search me, O God, and know my heart. You know, that takes a level of comfort with the Creator. Some people are scared of God. God makes them really nervous. You know what I mean? If they don't have the relationship with Him that God wants to have. You know, I remember I first started out as a Christian. I was really scared I was going to mess up. I just knew I was going to say something bad or do something stupid when I first started out going to church. You know, because I thought everybody in that church was so perfect. You know, they just looked so perfect. And see, when I got to know them, they were worse off than I was. You know, I'm just being honest, they were. They were worse off than I was. So don't let the devil frame your mind to thinking that you don't fit in. But be honest. Get real with God. Be honest. You know, make it as real with God as you can. Because when you get real with God and say, God, search my heart. If there's anything in there that I need to get rid of, if there's anything that I'm doing that is hindering my relationship with you, that is either grieving you or hurting those people around me, God, I want to give that to you. I make my body a living sacrifice to you. I renew my mind to your word, and I want to walk to bring glory to you. And when we do that, that's how change happens. Now, to me, two things happen. Process of elimination and process of emulation. Elimination and emulation. Say that three times fast. You really get messed up. I tried it. Okay, process of elimination. Cut out what is holding you back or is holding you hostage. Now, I don't know about you, but I picture a hostage situation. I watch TV, you know. I've seen some really intense hostage situations. And the idea of what that does, I mean, but picture yourself, that's you. That's what Satan's doing to you. He's holding you hostage because there's things in our life that is holding us back, that we're doing things a certain way. And because of that pattern of doing it that way, it's causing us to be a hostage. So we need to cut it out. Whatever that is, cut it out. Then, as soon as you cut it out, you need to put something back in. You've got to put something back in. And that's a process of emulation. The word emulation is talking about copy patterns of success. See, it's not good enough to just get rid of the bad, but we've got to replace it with something good. Because we need these patterns of success, and that's what I want to get into, which is going to help us to finally realize and to be able to have that revelation in our life of what God really wants for us. And that comes by the next point, which is miracle or method. Are you looking for a miracle, or are you willing to change your methods? And I want you to think about this for a moment, because I think most Christians want the miracle. You're deep in debt, but you don't want to change your spending habits. So you ask God to get you out of this problem. Come on. That's how we are, isn't it? God, give me the miracle. But I don't want to change my methods. I don't want to change my methods. So I buy stuff I don't need with money I don't have, and then we wonder why I'm stressed out. What has to change? Either your faith level has to get to the place where you can get a miracle every day, or you can change your methods. You can change your spending habits. You can change some of the things of how you do things. See, a lot of us are looking for the miracle moment. And we get to the place in our walk with God where, you know, we're wanting some big miracle breakthrough. Instead of wanting to implement systems or processes in our life that will bring us success. Now, one of the greatest events that happens in the life of a couple is the birth of a baby. Everybody loves a baby, right? I mean, come on. They're so cute, right? So we focus on the birthday, right? That's the event day. For all of us, that's when this little creature, I mean this little person, comes on the scene. And as you think about that, I know when my birthday was, was, wish you could kind of put them on hold for a little bit. In case you're thinking about it, you can mark down September 15th, you know. Don't really want desserts or cookies or nothing, but other things will be okay. You know, we celebrate that event. Our family used to get together, and we'd go over to, back when Ken Folks was open in Attica, and we'd go over there and celebrate birthdays, you know, whenever a few of them happened together there, and we'd have this great celebration, celebrating the day of the birth. But I want us to take a moment to look at this event from the baby's perspective. Now, I know we don't remember all that stuff, right? I mean, I don't remember being in my mother's womb. But primarily, there was a process of things that led to the event that you and I see when the baby finally comes on the scene. First, there's a miracle of conception. Miracle of conception. That's when this whole event started. No conception, no baby. Right? That's simple science. You know, we understand that, you know, a man and a woman come together and they conceive a baby. But that's just the first stop of the journey there, right? Well, what happens after that? Growth and development. That little baby starts to grow. Things start to form. Hands, feet, you know, all the important parts, the organs, all these things start to grow inside the mother. We can't see it. I mean, granted, with technology today, ultrasounds, you can see things back that you couldn't see years ago. But primarily, we don't have any idea, unless you really think about it, that's going on inside that mother right now. Is that there's growth and development. Well, after growth and development comes to the end of its process, then the birth. Simple as that. So these things are all happening. See, we focus on the event, the end event, and we don't really think about the other things that really take place. And see, that's what's happening in our life a lot of times. We're looking sometimes at the end event of what we want to see in our life, but we're not really focusing on the things that we need to in a certain systematic matter. Number one, you need to have to conceive an idea. You need to conceive an idea in your life of what it is you feel that God's leading you to do, what it is in your life that you feel that needs to change. Because if you're not dominating right now and you're being dominated, well, then there has to be an idea. There has to be some sort of thought, something in your life that has to have a revelation, a light bulb turn on, whatever it is that comes into your life that all of a sudden you can see what needs to be done. Well, after that, then we conceive that idea and what to make us great. Then we got to figure out how to develop that and make it grow. You know, how do I get to that spot? I have the idea, but what is it I need to do now, and how am I going to do it? And this is where we have the problem. A lot of times we can be dreamers or schemers, but yet we don't walk out the dream. And that's the weak spot. Because we know that we need to change, we know that we want something different, and we know a little bit about how to get there, but it takes discipline to grow and develop that dream. And that's what I want to challenge us with for 2017, is that you need to desire and to write out some steps of how you can grow the dream to be where you feel God's wanting you to be. What are some steps that you need to do that you're not doing now? You know, successful systems, because that's what makes a lot of companies, why you hear about certain companies that have developed greatness and they become big and they've done great things, is because they have systems established in their companies that employees become a part of, and as they walk out those systems, they become great. Well, it's the same thing for you and I. We need to develop systems in our family. Why do some families seem to walk in a level of unity while some walk in a level of disunity? Well, it's a little bit about what happens around the house, amen? Come on. I'm just being real. If you're always arguing and fussing and fighting about stuff, then you wonder why your kids act up in public. Come on. Something has to change. Start walking in love. Start doing things. Spanking your kids more. No, I didn't say that. Never mind. You know, that helps too. But these systems come from calculated decisions. A calculated decision. Okay, if you want to have weight loss. Now, I just had a revelation. It's so stupid. But the other day, I was thinking about something. I was walking up these steps, and they were very steep. And, you know, I'd lost a lot of weight several years ago, and I've let a little bit of it come back, more than I want, that I don't jog no more. I jiggle. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I was walking up these steps, and I was thinking, man, these are rough. Then it hit me. I know this is going to sound stupid to you, but I figured, because I've been working out a little bit, trying to lose weight. I says, it might be easier to not eat so much so I won't have to work out so hard. Hello. But it just went through my head. I was going, yeah, that's it. Don't eat so much. But see, it's a calculated. So what's that mean? I have to set up systems. My belly was just growling right there. I'm serious. You probably didn't hear it on the mic, but anyway, because the mic's up high. But there's systems and processes that I need to establish to be able to make that change. Finances, I brought that up a little earlier about being in debt. You know, finances are very simple. Don't spend more than you make. Right? Don't spend more than you make. Now, this is something that I've mentioned before, but I think it's a remedy for success. You know, you need to do the 80-10-10 principle. You live on 80% of your income. So whatever 80%, if you make $1,000, whenever you make that 1,000, that means you live on the 800. You save 100 and you give your tithe. Now that was a good advertisement for tithing, wasn't it? Amen. But what that does, you know, you think the church just needs it. Yeah, the church does need it. You know, I don't know, have you ever called the power company and says, hey, God said he'd pay my bill? No, it don't work that way, does it? No, they want cash. So, but anyway, what it does, though, it gets you, when God gets a hold of your heart and you start to put things first, then God starts to work in your life and he starts opening doors and you start to walk in a level of blessing. So that happens when you put God first in your finances and then you're saving 10%. And that's your emergency fund, or that's things if you want to do other things, and you start saving that, and you put it in an account. I wouldn't consider doing a checking account if you have access to it. You know, put it in a savings account, an account that you can't really draw on real easy. You have to actually maybe go to the bank to draw it out. And you start saving that money, and then you live on the 80%. That means you might have to alter your lifestyle a little bit and make some other choices. But as you do that, that wealth is going to start to grow. And then you're going to find out with the blessing of God, well, maybe you can live on 70% and save 20%. You know what I mean? It's just a process. I challenge you to test this. Start to develop systems that are going to start to work. And as you do that, this merry-go-round of life that you and I get on, because believe me, that's what it is. You and I get so busy in life and we get on that merry-go-round, and before we know it, we're out on the edge of the merry-go-round where the circumference of that thing is just going around and around and around and around so fast, we just walk in a level of confusion. We just keep going through the motions and nothing changes. But it takes great effort. I challenge you to go find a merry-go-round. I heard some states are taking them out now because they're too dangerous. Well, duh. How many's flown off of one? But no, they're good fun. So you try to pull yourself to the center of that merry-go-round. Now, I remember, it hadn't been several years ago, I was at a park, and it just stuck out to me. There was a kid standing in the middle of the merry-go-round, not even holding on. I mean, he was going around. But then his friend was out on the edge just holding on for dear life, because he was out in the confusion area. He was out there where the gravity and the centrifugal force was just really doing a number on him. But this one kid was just standing in the middle, just going around like this. and he was going this speed, but the kid out on the edge was going like this, you know what I mean? So if we want to get, so we're not so confused, we need to get to the center of the merry-go-round, which is the center of God's will for our life. Amen. And when we get to that place, yeah, we're still turning. Hey, the world goes round, amen? There's still some things that you and I need to deal with from time to time, but I guarantee your perspective's going to be better. You're not going to be so confused because God is going to be working. So we got to fight to be able to pull ourselves to the center. And that means to make our body a living sacrifice. We need to renew our mind so that we can be able to think the way that God wants us to think. And the more that you and I get to the center of God's will, the less confused we're going to be. And that's going to come by setting up certain systems or processes that'll help us to get that desired result. You know, I do not want to diminish your capacity to believe God for a miracle in what I've said today. Because I do know we serve a great God. And God does do miracles. But this one thing I want to leave you with. If you get a miracle from God and you don't have systems established in your life, a way of doing things, you're going to need another miracle not very far away. You know, it's easier to obtain than it is maintain. So that's why, you know, most of our life is maintenance, people. You know, we think it's obtaining things, but it's not. It's how we maintain the things that we have, how we flow and operate. And as we start to flow and operate in a different system, then we start to walk in it. And that's where we're going to start to find the victory that God has for our life as we choose to walk in this new way. It is going to be different. It's going to change. But it's worth it because, you know, you're going to be in a place where you're going to be able to function and flow, and you're not going to have to make those decisions from discomfort, but you're going to be able to operate in peace. Amen? Let's pray.